Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Thursday, March 7th. I'm Stephen Overley. President Joe Biden will deliver the State of the Union address tonight, and I'll be watching with my tech bingo card in hand. I'll be listening for mentions of AI, microchips, China, maybe privacy too. Look, I'm not expecting tech issues to dominate tonight's address, but they are a key part of Biden's track record that he is trying to sell to voters. The reality is that the political stakes are especially high. Recent polls show Biden's approval rating is down, and this speech could help or hurt. So I wanted to talk to someone who knows what goes into such a high-profile address, who's been in those rooms. That's R. David Adelman. He was a tech advisor in the Obama White House for 6 years, and during each of them, he jockeyed to get even a passing mention of tech into the annual address. David is now a fellow at MIT's Internet Research Policy Initiative, focused on AI, cybersecurity, and emerging technologies. On the show today, he told me what White House policy wonks put into the State of the Union, and what he thinks Biden will say. David, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
You worked on tech issues in the Obama White House for 6 years, and during that time helped prepare for his State of the Union speeches. Take me inside the room. What's it like the morning of this big address?
Well, you know, there are a lot of rooms is the first thing to know about the State of the Union. There's the room that the speechwriters are in. There's the room that policy wonks like me have been in for weeks and months before trying to prepare to get ideas forward. There are the rooms of the political advisors and others that are trying to vet all of these ideas and figure out how to put it into a coherent whole. And so it's really a process that in most cases goes on for months. And it begins with the policy councils trying to decide, you know, what are the issues that might actually resonate with this broad of an audience? What are the issues that you can actually put forward in the one sentence, maybe three sentences you might get in an actual presidential speech, and then actually build the real depth underneath that? And, you know, it ends up being a process really where, you know, every agency will come to the table, every policy council will come to their own respective tables. Of course, there's additional jockeying happening behind the scenes of people trying to get, you know, their favorite senior advisor or other people to champion particular issues. But, you know, the real tension that emerges is right in the middle when you have this incredibly long list of often very good ideas and trying to figure out which of them are right for State of the Union and which of them aren't. And all has to be in the service of, you know, what message the president wants to convey, right? Is this going to be a speech that goes into wonky policy details about specifics to demonstrate all the work that's happening? Or is this a message speech that's really designed to convey the broad arc of what the president wants his or her legacy to be, or, you know, what they have as a vision for the future? I will say this, though, for every one idea that's in the speech, there might have been 20 or 30 or 40 that were developed. And that were developed in much greater detail because of the process of trying to get them to State of the Union, because of the need to actually have them at a level of specificity that the president could talk about it. And so the result of it is that some of the best policy initiatives that I was ever lucky enough to have the chance to work on, they actually came out of the cutting room floor in State of the Union. You know, there was an initiative called Connect Ed that was a broadband in schools program. At the time, it was one of the largest broadband investments that had ever been made by the federal government. That, in part, came out of a process for State of the Union, but ultimately didn't quite fit in the speech, didn't quite get in. And yet there was sufficient enthusiasm and readiness across the administration to unveil it, not at State of the Union, frankly, where it could have been lost in a long speech of a lot of other issues, but at a separate dedicated event that the president was able to highlight himself.
Is there an issue you remember that managed to kind of survive this gauntlet and, you know, make its way from some piece of paper and to the president's mouth in the speech?
Well, sure. I mean, there were several of them, but I think the key theme throughout, as someone who worked on primarily technology issues, is finding ways to make technology into a kitchen table issue. So what got through? Well, you know, cybersecurity. First in a laundry list of, you know, big challenges, big new challenges. I think the president mentioned that in 2009, all the way through later in the mid-decade, worked its way in as one of his sort of signature areas he wanted for a comprehensive national cyber action plan, sort of the Blue Ribbon Commission treatment. Privacy, right? Hard to talk about data governance. Not a lot of people get excited about that around the kitchen table. But when you're talking about privacy, it starts to get sort of personal.
Right.
You talk about, you know, individuals who are having their identities stolen, tens of millions of Americans. And so that gave way to some work that ended up being mentioned in the State of the Union, and then ultimately announcements that were made at the Federal Trade Commission. And, you know, one that we always come back to, broadband. Whether it was rural Americans who felt like they were being left behind, couldn't be a part of this industry of the future, whether it was schools that were being left behind, didn't quite make it a State of the Union on that one, or whether it was people feeling like their broadband bills were too high. And in fact, that was one of the areas that President Obama mentioned and ended up afterwards going to do an event that was focused on broadband affordability later on.
Right.
And so those are the kinds of ways that you see technology issues being connected back to a broad audience, often with a lot of wonky details underneath that get, you know, people like you or me excited about exactly how the implementation will happen. But that often is the challenge. And I think, you know, when you look to this White House, this has been a case where you've seen both happen. Technology issues, both on their standing on their own two legs, but also being integrated into mainline public policy in areas that don't look or feel techie at first gloss, right? Antitrust and competition, or China and strategic threats, or, you know, industries of the future. AI might be an exception. AI does sort of stand apart. It is discussed on its own terms and certainly has been a core priority for this president and certainly for this White House, including with announcements just in the last several weeks on these issues. And so, you know, I think you can anticipate many of those. But with Joe Biden, it's always going to come back down to how can it communicate authentically in his voice on the issues that he cares about directly.
President Biden is delivering his fourth State of the Union tonight. If you're his advisor, what are you saying to him? What's the message that he most needs to send, and how does tech fit into it?
First of all, I think it's definitionally way above my pay grade. He, you know, Joe Biden is surrounded by people who in many cases have been with Joe Biden for 20, 30, 40 years. You know, I wrote speeches for him 20 years ago, like once or twice, and worked with him in the, you know, when he was vice president briefly. I think, you know, when you're looking though at how he's going to be thinking about this, ultimately, it has to come back to the authenticity of his own message. How do you talk about technology issues in a way that doesn't seem divorced from the real experience of actual Americans that are trying to get by right now? So how do you talk about those issues in a way that actually resonates with real lived experience? Or you think about the concerns that have existed around inflation, around consumer prices. Well, you know, the president has focused a lot on that as in part one of the issues being a competition in this economy. Do we have a sufficiently competitive economy? In other words, you know, are people jacking up prices just because they can? On some level, that's a tech issue phrased in a very different way. And then I think, you know, he can also tap into what are some very real anxieties, very real concerns they have as everyday individuals that are concerned about AI taking their jobs. They'd be concerned about the role AI could have in their workplace, or, you know, even determining whether or not they get a government benefit. Those are very real concerns that you can talk about without having to go into discussions of training models and AI safety and questions about, you know, billionaires and their views on their particular AI approaches.
Well, that's, you know, for listeners who may not be aware, I'm talking to the co-author of Obama's first AI strategy, which I think was back in 2014, so a decade ago.
So vintage, we called it the Big Data Report, because AI wasn't even really a thing. But yes, it was on some level the first attempt at an AI strategy.
The buzzwords change. The principles often remain the same, has been my experience. But, you know, as you're saying, I mean, since then, but even since last year, the last State of the Union, public awareness, public concern about AI has grown considerably. What do you think we'll hear him say about this?
Well, to the extent he's going to talk about it, which is, you know, never a given, and predicting what's going to be in the State of the Union is always incredibly hard. It, you know, if he is going to talk about AI, you know, I think the president does have an opportunity to do a little bit of a victory lap, and perhaps an underappreciated one, because for a technology to be out in the public availability for just about a year, and to have a major executive order that tasks essentially every agency in the executive branch of the government to do a lot of work around it is pretty impressive, just on the timeline alone. And so it may be an opportunity for the president to at least acknowledge that he has directed a lot of the federal government, not just one piece, not just the national security team or not just the economic team, but a lot of it, to really focus on this issue. And secondly, to get smart about it. I mean, I think it's an opportunity for him and for the government to also show a little bit of humility, to recognize just how fast this technology has moved, to recognize that even some of the best commentators at places like MIT were surprised at the pace of the evolution, and to recognize that, you know, government is going to play an important role here and that it won't have all the answers on day one. We had 60 years, depending on how you count, 60, 70 years to become accustomed to typical computing in the workplace and in government. You know, by the most generous measures, we've had 8 to get used to the era of AI and 1.5 or 2 in terms of general utility AI. So that's going to be a huge opportunity.
We'll be right back. The issue of competition with China is one that has come up in Biden's past 3 State of the Union speeches in some form. I have to think it will come up again tonight. Where does tech fit into the message he needs to deliver when it comes to U.S. global standing vis-a-vis China?
Well, you know, this is another, both an opportunity and, as you said, a real challenge, because, you know, the president has taken a tremendous number of moves, many of them focused on technology to really help keep this pacing challenge with China. And so if you look at the key areas of activity in the U.S.-China relationship and where President Biden has really sought to increase the leverage in the relationship, to limit some of what he and the administration perceive as very real risks to Americans' data, to American security, it often does have a nexus in technology, right? You just saw in the last week an executive order focused on limiting access to broad swaths of American data that could be purchased. You've looked at the efforts that were happening underneath the CHIPS Act and other efforts to really restrict the access that the Chinese military could have to certain advanced technical architectures and chips. You know, time and again, the nature of this competition keeps coming back to a technology competition. And so recognizing at the same time, there are very real threats there. The administration has taken some actions that maybe not all Americans are aware of to limit the ways that these strategic competitors might have undue access to their data or might unfairly compete with American innovators or others. You know, actually talking about that with specifics is a real opportunity that he has here. There has been a notable thaw in this relationship, an agreement even to talk about complicated things like AI between the U.S. and China.
Right.
That's progress. And whether or not it's progress that could have come about without some of these points of leverage, some of these, you know, really challenging years that we've had, that'll be for him to message. But it's certainly a very interesting dynamic that we'll have to talk about going forward. And I'd be surprised if that didn't feature into the speech one way or another.
Right. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And on a lot of these issues, there's sort of the national security end of things, which is what we're talking about. There's also the domestic economic end of things, right? So if you take chips, for instance, there's a U.S. economic story to be told there. Same with some of the initiatives he's done around antitrust or junk fees. I guess the question I have is, President Biden is on the campaign trail right now. He's trying to message to voters. Do you think that kind of message actually resonates with people?
Fundamentally, that's a question for the politicians that are out on the trail right now, right? I mean, are they seeing it connect? You know, and whether they're seeing it connect versus whether it's really getting attention in the press is, of course, a very, very different conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it is true, and it's historically been true, that you've seen presidents lean in on certain technology issues because they felt like they could resonate, right? Barack Obama, in his first campaign for president, did talk about a fair number of technology issues, you know, as a means to focus on the future. And so whether or not the audience on the campaign trail is reacting to this as an issue of, wow, you know, I'm really focused on big tech companies, or,
right,
wow, I'm really focused on my costs as a small business and what it takes to advertise, what it takes to get my message out, or what it takes to go through and hire new people these days. Those are questions that will inevitably involve a technological component. These days, almost every part of the economy is touched one way or another by technology, increasingly parts of it by AI. It's going to be an unavoidable topic. Whether or not it becomes central to the campaign, it's too early to tell in anything like that. But it certainly will be an opportunity for the president to message what you or I might think of as technology policy issues and to mainstream them as real central economic issues, as social issues, and ultimately as geopolitical issues.
I think that's a really interesting point, because I just experienced that myself often, where I'll just be having a conversation casually and people will bring up issues that to me sound like antitrust policy or privacy policy, and they're not thinking about it in those terms or talking about it in those terms, but that's sort of the Washington conversation that reflects some of those issues that they're raising or concerns that they have.
It also reflects an evolution, right? I mean, we are now many, many years from technology being this shiny, distinct object that is otherwise undealt with, but by the techiest of tech policy people.
Totally.
Right? These are a set of issues, whether it's cybersecurity or whether it's technology platforms and social media or whether it's chips, that have been very much mainstreamed. And that's a much louder and more populist dialogue than it was 10 or 15 years ago. But it also means that there's a lot more activity that can take place that can get the president's attention. It's no longer the case that technology policy lives on an island. Now it's been mainstreamed across every one of these areas. And I'd argue this is probably what you're going to see on AI policy in the next 5-8 years as well.
You know, there's a smattering of other tech issues I could see getting a passing mention tonight, perhaps a call for data privacy legislation, you know, some reference to protections for children's safety online. I'm curious what else is on your State of the Union bingo card.
Both of those feel like the safest bets to the extent the technology will be part of the speech in any specific way. And I want to be clear, right? This is a year in which the State of the Union is going into an election year. This is going to be a year about big picture messaging. It may not be as much about really narrow specifics. Yeah. One, data privacy. There have been repeated calls for actual legislation as a baseline data privacy measure, but also on the specifics of data brokers and children. Those are two that you keep hearing again and again that some of the president's senior most advisors are obviously very focused on. They've spoken publicly about. Those are two important ones. You know, I think you could certainly see more on AI. I think it'll be difficult to avoid the topic of AI. Now, whether that's in the context of economic dynamism or in the context of the competition with China or in the context of labor and jobs, who knows? It could be any one of those. But those are very much on my list. It'll be difficult for that not to include some conversation of protection of American assets and critical infrastructure. Now, probably not going to be infrastructure week again, but the last piece on my list probably is broadband. Because again, you know, early on, you had this massive historic investment in broadband, and those dollars are starting to flow. You can now see the administration's putting out maps all over the country where this broadband money is going, where it's being spent, and where it's connecting people. And so it'd be surprising to not see a victory lap around some of those dollars starting to flow on broadband as part of a broader infrastructure revitalization that you're seeing. Those are some of the key ones. Like I said, on the far edges of the bingo card, you know, moonshots of emerging technologies, things where, you know, the American economic and scientific dynamism can really win the day. Fusion energy is certainly one of them. Things like quantum are exciting, probably unlikely to be in State of the Union because most people can't explain it in a sentence. You know, but there are other pieces that I think at a highest level, it is as important to watch what happens in the 3 weeks following the State of the Union as it is to do a close read of the text of the speech. Because it's these next 3 weeks and beyond where every individual policy area is actually going to get the specificity for us to know where the priorities are and for us to see what didn't quite make it into the speech at the highest political level, but that those that are driving the policy efforts and the programmatic efforts really want to see on the ground. And so we'll all have to stay tuned for that.
Well, I guess we'll find out what gets left on that cutting room floor you were telling us about earlier and what actually makes it to the prime time. David, appreciate you joining us on Politico Tech.
Thank you so much. Hugely appreciate your time.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.